From the Lend to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 18th day of October 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzla, GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. There were some interesting things that took place today. You want to make sure you stay with us for that. And then we'll discuss drought in the United States and the concerns that Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions and Agrible Meteorologist has about it this fall, and in an unusual way about problems that could be developing for the 2025 season. And we'll do all of that on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen at willag.org. That's willag.org. Mike Zuzlo at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas now joins us. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us today.
Good to be with you, Todd. Happy Friday, sir.
Happy Friday to you. Mike and I are talking at the noon hour today because I am at a symposium on campus related to weeds and herbicides. It's very interesting. We'll talk about that at some time in the distant, maybe sometime in the near future as well. However, Mike, when I walked over to do the interview with you at the noon hour, I happened to get the text from the grain elevator, saw that beans were down 12 cents, and I looked at bar chart to see that at Chicago, wheat was down 17. That's not the way things really started. What's happening in this market today?
No, and you know, you got to realize too, Todd, we're coming off of a Thursday afternoon where NOAA came out with a big, big La Nina story in terms of the Southern Plains and the U.S. winter wheat crop likely being damaged more this winter on warmer, drier forecasts, and a pretty stark press release that they put out, very plain spoken. And that's coming on the heels of the drought expanding to 52% in winter wheat acres versus 44% about 2 weeks ago. And then we had weekly export sales that came in with wheat up 57% from the four-week average. So when we saw the wheat market take a nosedive and go from a higher week to a lower week and then new monthly lows, it did not make sense fundamentally. And I sent a text blast to clients saying, not sure what's going on here, but something's going on here. And I noted that some of the publicly traded grain firms were starting to take a big hit as well. That's still occurring here at midday. And what has happened now in the last hour or so is we're finding out Russia is telling its grain exporters to sell only directly to the sovereign buyers. And so you're essentially, what this story is suggesting, cutting out the international tender process. And Russia's going to go straight to the countries themselves, and it's not going to be offered on the open market. So that kind of solves both the puzzle pieces. Why would wheat be getting hit harder than the corn and beans? Because Russia is wheat. And then why would those big grain trading companies be getting hit in their stock prices? That would help make us understand that better too. So this is a brand new piece of fundamental news that we don't know quite where this is going to take us.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch and see how Russia navigates this. And I mean that quite literally, because I'm thinking about what the shipping might be to international customers. Some of that is not owned by private companies outside of the agricultural industry. Some of it is. I can see them within the country being able to control grain flow and possible sales, dealing with the sovereign country. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops, what kind of impact it really has on the capital economy and private companies like ADM and Bunge and Cargill and such. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. What does that tell you about this marketplace for producers then, and farmers, and things that have changed under their feet today?
Yeah, two things that dovetail into what you just said. Two things that I'm watching is, and these, both these things would suggest to me, if we can recover by Monday, Tuesday, then the market is likely fully factored it in. And what I mean by that is, yesterday, the Kursk region of number 7 production region of Russia came out with a grain crop emergency / crop failure on winter grain crops specifically. And then at the same time, the 12.5% protein quote for Russian wheat hit a four-month high of 245 a ton out of the Black Sea for November delivery. These two things suggest to me Russia probably doesn't have wheat to export at this point. And I think that's what the market's going to have to figure out at this stage of the game. The second piece of that puzzle, in terms of it all ending relatively quickly, is the idea that we've got the Black Sea weather worsening in the next week in terms of drought problems, where Argentina, Brazil is getting better from the models. The U.S. and Black Sea regions are getting worse. And I want to see if the trade really wants to go down this path, knowing that the commercials are not that net long right now. I just checked that based upon last week's COT data. Commercials and soft red wheat are not that net long, which is kind of a good scenario. So my take is, if you had wheat longs on, pare down your prices because of the technicals. And if the wheat drags the beans down like we're seeing now here at midday, and we lose those technical support levels from last week, probably need to get back into the hedging side of the equation of beans, especially because South American weather does look like it's improving.
Yeah, so to follow up on those two comments and ask a question and maybe some clarification as well, you said that Russia does not have wheat to sell. There would be two seasons involved here. One would be the short crop from this year, which suddenly, if they say they have a failure in the Kursk region and maybe other places are not looking good, they're trying to hold over a short crop from this year to satisfy needs domestically for next year. So it's kind of two crop years. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, that's exactly right. Because, and you hit it on the nose, as you usually do, Todd, they raised just today on Friday their wheat export duty by another 14%. Per metric ton, essentially $22 a metric ton from their earlier one. And their earlier one was done just a few days ago. That was a 41% hike and to curb wheat exports. And so everything suggests to me that they don't have nearly the quantity to sell that they had the last year or two. And that, yes, they're trying to save and salvage what they have left from the prior crop year. And because they see the new crop year is it's a physical damage to the crop, like we talked about last week. It's theoretical in corn and beans, this global drought, but it sure seems like it's practical and real in the wheat complex.
And then when you incorporate this into the corn market, which was only at the noon hour when we're talking down a couple of cents, apparently the trade appears to be satisfied on your prognostication that if things in the wheat settle down by Tuesday, it's been worked into the marketplace, and corn is betting that's the case.
Yeah, I think that's right, because those weekly export sales for corn were up 83% versus last week because of all this daily and big business we've seen. And we got to realize, too, Russia's very little in the corn. It's really Ukraine that's about the corn. And so you're not really hurting the international tender situation. Having said that, I want the wheat to heal because wheat's still my leader as a feed grain. And if we nosedive in the wheat and we go lower than, say, $1.20, wheat minus corn, then all of a sudden you have to start thinking about the wheat becoming a feed grain again and messing with the corn demand.
Speaking of nosedives, soybeans, I don't know whether they're very much related to what's happening in wheat. That seems unlikely, but you can tell me, are down sharply at this time, although they're above the weekly lows.
Yeah, they are down sharply. They've made new lows with the wheat, and I think that's where this has been kind of the trend for the last several weeks, and I think it's really going to be up to the wheat to help the beans. Because if the South Americans get back on track, Todd, we do have a burdensome amount of soybeans globally. And I'm not talking about domestically. I actually think we could be seeing some shortfalls domestically because of these low soy moisture levels in the beans themselves. But that might actually attract imports. And I think that's what I fear most, is imports coming into this country in the next couple, 3 months if we really do have a crop problem. But I think globally is where I'm situated as far as this market right now, as far as do you put puts on, do you go ahead and cash in basis contracts and lock in a pretty rough futures price on off the combine bushels or not. And I think beans, to me, are still the leader to the downside.
Wait, why would we have imports? What would cause that?
Well, it would be the protein content of the beans and just the short supply in some areas where we would have to maybe bring in beans to mix or blend to be able to crush to get the value levels up on the protein side if we're looking at tough-looking beans from either a protein standpoint or the bushels themselves have shrunk because of the low moisture levels. I've got clients cutting 6-7% beans right now, and I really don't know how that's going to work into the situation with the domestic crushers.
Yeah, so do you have confirmation on the low protein levels, or is that just
This is all theoretical, and we have brought beans in, though, and that would make sense if the Brazilians get back on track with their planting because of their excess supplies.
Yeah, so it's not exactly a quality issue, at least not yet, and something that your conjecture there is working towards. However, the low moisture, 6 or 7%. Holy smokes, that's got to be awful. Is that in the western part of the United States, or is that here in central Illinois?
It would be in both areas. There are certain areas of both states. Nebraska is one of those areas. I would say the parts of western Ohio up towards the droughty areas, towards Lake Erie, really light moisture levels.
What are you telling producers at this point? Do they need to stand pat, or how are you dealing with all of these variables?
Yeah, I think you can stand pat on the wheat and the corn for right now until things shake out early next week. But if we cannot lose any more technical support in the beans, because you open yourself up 40 to 50 cents lower in the beans. And my take is beans like to move in 40 to 60 cent increments. And it's just too much of a loss on a revenue per acre basis to sit back and let that happen at these price levels.
Anything else before I let you go?
Watching livestock very closely here. We've got a bounce in the feeders thanks to the corn going lower, watching the stock market new highs, because that's helping the consumption mindset in the fund trades as far as keeping the cattle up. You give way in either of those two, the cattle may be open to some downside as well.
You have a great weekend.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
Mike Zuzlo is with GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. Joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. We're on our website right now. You can find a couple of things, two of them, actually four of them. You'll need to look in the calendar. I'll give you some more information on that in a moment. However, first up is a mental health first aid training that'll take place at the Farm Credit Building in Mahomet here in Champaign County on November the 6th. You still have time to sign up for that. If you're going to be done, at least harvesting, it might be worthwhile to take some time and think about mental stress and come to that first aid training. I urge you to. I'm already signed up and ready to do some of the pre-work. It is a day-long event on November the 6th, but you need to sign up today. Now, in the calendar at willag.org, some other things. Kind of save the date, or you can go ahead and sign up. You'll find a way to register for this winter's IFA series, which kicks off with the Farm Assets Conference. That includes all of the Illinois Farm Economic Summit presentations and much more. That's Friday, December 13th in Champaign. And then the following week, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be out on the road with just the Ag Economist on those IFA series programs in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. You can find all the details and a way to register in the calendar at willag.org. Let's check in now with Eric Snodgrass, as we do each and every Friday here on the Closing Market Report. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible, a meteorologist. Thanks, Eric, for being with us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about this fall. Farmers are in the field. Beans are, and corn for that matter, just drying down, or did dry down. Most of them are gone now and harvested really quickly. This morning, Trent Ford included in his weekly climate review that the drought is in place, and it had not rained for 23 days in Freeport, Illinois. That's way up in the northern part of the state. It's dry. Can you tell me more about what you're thinking is it's related to drought here?
Yeah, so this has been an interesting late summer and early fall, in that, you know, we did have a hurricane, Francine and Helene, that brought some rain to the southern third of Illinois, but most of the rest of the state has been very, very dry. Now, some of us got a little bit of lake effect moisture earlier in the week. In fact, Todd, some of the rain that fell in our hometown of Mahomet, that was actually from Lake Michigan, believe it or not. Well, anyways, that's it, though. It's been so incredibly dry. Our soil moisture values are in the lowest 2 percentile. It's allowed for very rapid harvest, but what it is not good for is any fall application. And I'm getting concerned about when this drought could possibly break. And it's getting worse and worse with each coming forecast. Even the low pressure center that's right now forming over Colorado, which would normally have me excited as it typically moves toward Illinois, you know, there's just not much in it to work with. And as it tries to get over toward us, you know, middle of the week next week, I don't think it's going to have anything left in it to make much precipitation other than to maybe bat down the dust a little bit. So we think about that and understand that we may be going deep into October with, you know, with nothing new being added. And I'm allowing this to rent a lot of space in my head as I start to think out there longer term about winter, you know, and next growing season. So yeah, it's dry and I don't have a whole lot in terms of hope of moisture in the very near term.
Is there anything new on the winter forecast?
There is. I mean, even as soon as November, we're starting to see the pattern make some shifts in the North Pacific. And we can thank this really, really large blob of warm water that's off the coast of Japan for it. Not necessarily La Nina. We'll talk more about that in a second. But the reality is that that could be forcing more of these systems to enter the western United States, which then helps them progress over to our area. And most November forecasts are on the wetter side of average. But you have to remember, November is not a wet month for Illinois. So it's not as though we're going to break this drought cycle with 1 month in November. It's going to take a season or two to get us out of this current drought situation. And I'm concerned about it growing, even though the November outlook does look halfway decent in terms of moisture.
The meteorologists generally do not get concerned about drought growing in the fall time frame for the 2025 season. I take it that is renting some space in your brain as well.
Well, I do expect, okay, so I looked at every forecast we've got for this upcoming winter. Now, we don't typically break drought during winter time frames, but I'm looking at it and going, if we've got a shot at returning some moisture this winter, this one's got a good chance of doing it. The analogs look like it might happen. All the models suggest it could happen, which means we'd have to have something that goes against everything we know right now to occur for me to change that whole mindset. Now, that can always happen, Todd. I mean, we've been wrong before, as you know very well. But I think about this more in the context of next year. So here's what I did. This winter's La Nina will likely be on the weaker side of average. I found all the weak ones we've had, looked at their composites for the following year's growing season, and unfortunately, Todd, it's dry. And then on top of that, you know, you have the fall drought, meaning that we're going to be desperate for good spring rains to undo that. And so to echo a narrative I've been sharing with you for the last several weeks, looks like 2025 is going to be a year that unless we have just-in-time rains, we could have drought that could be strong enough to compromise the quality and quantity of next year's crop. Now, Todd, that's 7 months away from us before we even talk about planting it, right? But the idea here is that if there is a wild card in next year, it's the drought right now, and it is the La Nina building, and I'm concerned about it. And I'll just be honest, I will be until I'm not. You know what I mean? So that's where we are.
Now, other concerns. And I'm wondering if you're still concerned at all about South America, whether it be Brazil, Center West, or in Argentina.
So let's take the same scenario with this week, La Nina. Historically, the Center West region has plenty of rainfall. That's Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, those big growing areas in the middle part of Brazil. Who's drier? Northeast Brazil. Who's drier? Argentina. Right now, though, it's raining like mad nearly everywhere except for southern Brazil, and they don't want any more rain. They had too much earlier this spring. So the near-term forecast in Brazil is great, same for Argentina. The longer term, I'm concerned about drought in Argentina, and I'm concerned about drought in northeast Brazil, but not in the center west, which is where the majority of the crops are grown. So, yeah, it's shaping up to be something where I think the next potential weather issue is either Argentina or United States in 2025.
So tell me more about drought in Argentina. Is it primary growing regions that you're concerned about, or is it the winter wheat, corn growing regions, or soybean areas?
I think it's primarily the corn and soybean growing areas. The winter wheat's getting a huge drink right now, but it's just longer you go toward their summer, you know, December, January, February, the more I'm seeing a drought signal right there in that kind of triangle of Santa Fe toward Buenos Aires and then back over toward Cordoba. You know, that's the equivalent for them of like, you know, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota. So they've got to see a breakdown in the pattern to avoid major drought.
Is that typical of La Nina years?
It is. Yep, it is.
It's all predictable and typical. Thank you much. Anything else before I let you go?
Nope, I think that's what's renting the most space in my brain right now.
All right, well, when there's a lease there, we can talk about that too.
Oh, gosh.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org, willag.org, where right now you can listen to the whole of Commodity Week on demand whenever you'd like. Just press and play from the website or search out Commodity Week on your favorite podcast applications. If you can stay with us here on our home station, you'll hear all of it this afternoon. If not, many of these radio stations will carry a portion of it today and then more of it tomorrow or over the weekend. And again, you can always visit that website at willag.org to hear all of the program.